FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Anybody would have written this script with the exception of FC Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. On this week's show, we'll have reaction and interviews from Saturday's league game against Stafford Rangers. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week in winning ways as FC United's women's team have progressed to the third qualifying round of the FA Cup with a 5-2 victory away at Norton and Stockton Ancients.
A great performance from FC United's women's team on Sunday afternoon through to the third qualifying round of this season's Women's FA Cup with a 5-2 victory away at Norton and Stockton Ancients. And joining me now down the other end of the phone, we should be joined by assistant manager of the women's team. It's Hugh Ferguson. Well, Hugh, a big thank you for joining us and a big congratulations on that great result on Sunday afternoon. 4-0 up at one point, quite resounding in the end. How was it for you?
Yeah, it was really enjoyable for me. Obviously, it was the first time sort of taking the team in quite a big game. Went into it a little bit nervous, but obviously, like you said, once we were 4-0 up, I was quite content with that, quite happy with that. Really good day. Obviously, FA Cup's always an enjoyable occasion, and then to be playing a team from the division above and then to go and put on such a performance like that, it was absolutely fantastic. So yeah, I totally enjoyed it.
Obviously it's a lengthy away trip as well, and you'd be forgiven being a bit sluggish off the team bus having travelled all that way, but straight out of the blocks, no messing around.
Yeah, we were very aware of the fact it was a long journey and wanted to make sure that didn't have any impact on the team and how we started. So we made sure that the whole structure of the day, the bus journey, all went as smoothly as possible. And fortunately, that was the case. Obviously, there was no sort of traffic on the motorway, so we were able to get there in good time and able to get all set up and ready to go. So, yeah, full credit to the girls. They could have let that affect them, but they went straight in from the off and really dominated the game the entirety of the time.
No, great stuff. And I should say as well, it did get to 4-2, so there was a bit of a glimmer of hope for the home side, but then the fifth goal nailed it. And should say the goals, I've seen them back. They're all pretty good goals, in all fairness, as well. There weren't any tap-ins.
Oh, no, yeah, we played some absolutely fantastic football, and that was the highlights on the goals. That wasn't the only time that we did it. We did it consistently throughout, and we created chance after chance, so from that perspective, it was fantastic. We just kept coming at them and we didn't let any of the occasion affect us. We just played our football, which is an absolute testament to the girls. So it's really good in terms of that, being able to make sure that we were carving them open and creating clear-cut chances. And fortunately, we were able to take quite a few of them. Obviously, scoring five goals away from home to a team in the division above is not easy to do. So the fact that we were able to do that, it was absolutely fantastic.
And it's a bit spooky as well for FC United supporters. They'll know over a decade ago, the men's team played Norton and Stockton Ancients at their place and won 5-2 as well in that famous FA Cup run. So for the women's team, through to the third qualifying round, draw took place on Monday afternoon. It's Chorley at home a week on Sunday. Higher opposition. So what's your take on this game coming up?
Yeah, same attitude again. Really excited for it. I think we played Chorley in pre-season last year and the game was a good game. So I know all of our girls will be right up for this game. I know I've spoken to Cameron already and know he's raring to go for it, get back into it. And again, like I said before, FA Cup, it's always going to be a great occasion. Being at home will just give us a little bit more of an advantage as opposed to having to take a big trip away like this weekend. So yeah, really excited for that one, and hopefully it should be another great game for us.
And the good news is you are away this weekend in the back in the league, but you don't have to travel too far. It's just West Didsbury and Charlton, so we know how good they are. What's your take on this game coming up this weekend in the league?
Yeah, it's going to be a very tough one. I know the coaches quite well at West Didsbury, and they're good lads. They know their way about a football pitch, so it's going to be a real test for us. And coming off the back of two big performances this weekend and then Crewe the weekend before, it's important that we carry through that momentum and that we really crack on and don't let our standards slip. So I think, yeah, definitely going to be a tough game, and really looking forward to seeing what both teams bring to the plate. But quite glad that it is only a small trip this weekend.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Hugh Ferguson, assistant manager of the women's team, a big thank you for joining us. Congratulations to everyone associated with the women's team through to the next round, and we'll be catching up very, very soon.
And to continue the cup theme, FC United return to FA Youth Cup action this coming Thursday as FC hosts Litherland. We'll have radio commentary for those of you who cannot make the game, and kickoff will be at 7:30 p.m. In other news, and due to recent COVID-related postponements to matches, the first team squad have been working hard at training in preparation for Saturday's return to play. To judge the mood in camp, Tim caught up with skipper Michael Potts on Thursday evening.
What's it been like for the players not actually playing games and having all these buys?
Yeah, it's been weird. Obviously, you had that time off through obviously COVID where we didn't play for ages, and then you want to get back and get going again, and then it's like, oh, we're not playing again, and it's been a bit like, oh, I just want to get playing. Do you know what I mean? You want to play your games as many games as you can really at the moment. But the lads, the group we've got, the WhatsApp group and everything, has been bouncing really, having a bit of a joke and having a banter and that. So it's been good.
I was talking to Renault earlier, and he said that even Donners was complaining about how hard the training was last week or so.
Yeah, it was like pre-season all over again. We were doing squats, we were doing press-ups, we were running, and we were all like, what the hell, what's going on? Yeah, but it's one of them, just got to keep fit, and that's... Obviously, it's a good thing for us. You don't like doing it at the time, but then after it, you're like, yeah, we do need it. We need to keep on top of our game and ready for when the games come.
Obviously, playing for Sheffield Rangers on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
They've had a game in midweek, so they'll be sharp.
Yeah, they had a win, didn't they? Obviously, they've not started that as good in the league. So, at the end of the day, they're going to come to FC. They're going to want to turn it on for us, and we're just going to have to be ready to match it. And obviously, we want to get the win.
FC United captain Michael Potts speaking to Tim there on Thursday night. And finally, for this week's news, following Tuesday's announcement of a positive COVID test for our FA Cup opponents Alfreton Town, FC United have progressed to the fourth qualifying round of this season's competition, where the Reds will host National League North side Guiseley this Saturday. And for reaction to this news, Ben caught up with manager Neil Reynolds on Friday night.
Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us, and back to league matters tomorrow. Before we talk about Stafford Rangers, just your reaction to the FA Cup and through to the fourth qualifying round.
Ben, listen, it's a dream come true, isn't it? You know, every manager wants to be 90 minutes away from the first round proper. But, you know, with saying that, I've got to say a big commiserations to Alfreton and Billy Heath, you know, someone I know really well. Disappointingly, we haven't had a chance to lock horns. For me, you know, I've said time and again that I believe that my side is good enough to compete at the National League North level. And, you know, we showed that against Curzon. I was hoping to showcase that further against Alfreton, but it wasn't to be. Alfreton, you know, some of the players tested positive, which, you know, we hope that they'll return to full fitness as soon as possible. But, you know, once that news broke, it was, you know, kind of business as usual. As the draw was made on Thursday, you know, we were delighted to be in the hat, but I've got to say that it's a little bit of a sour moment when you haven't won outright. But, you know, we'll take it.
And you mentioned there your desire to play a National League North team and lock horns with them. We've got Guiseley, so we could do that.
Ben, listen, I'll say it time and again. My side is good enough to play in the National League North. You know, the team that we've created since the relegation season, you know, finished second, you know, won the Manchester Cup that albeit wasn't, you know, the official Manchester Cup. Started the season unbeaten. I've got a really talented squad, and you know they deserve to have their place in the league above. But you know the Northern League is such a strong league to get out of. You know, likes of South Shields now and Buxton and you know, Lancaster, Italy. It's going to be really difficult, but I genuinely believe that there's a cohort of teams in our league that, you know, if they got the opportunity to get out, would do really well in the league above. So for me, you know, when we play Guiseley, we've just got to try and show them. But Guiseley, you know, look at them on paper, they're a great side. You know, there's some really big names in the Guardsy team. And, you know, ironically, when we got relegated a couple of years ago or 18 months ago, you know, Guiseley were fighting tooth and nail to stay up with us. And they managed to do it and we didn't. So, but I believe that Guiseley have come a long way since then. They're going to be strong, they're going to be physical. But I genuinely believe in my side. And I think that, you know, if we turn up next Saturday, 90 minutes away from the FA Cup first round proper, you know, who knows? But I believe in my team.
And a lot of home games as well, because before that, we've got a midweek game against Lancaster. But tomorrow's match, now Stafford Rangers. And you talked about how competitive the Northern Premier League is. Stafford Rangers, second bottom, but they beat Hereford midweek, so they're no mugs.
Listen, Jody's put together a great side. And again, you know, you talk about on paper, you know, Stafford have put together a really good side. And we know that tomorrow's not going to be easy. We've got Stafford tomorrow, we've got Lancaster Tuesday. And then we've got guys on Saturday, three home games. And there's no way that 11 players can do it. So I'm going to have to rest and rotate and try and get the best out of my small, you know, 18, 19-man squad. It's going to be difficult. You know, Jody's going to want to come here tomorrow and kind of get, you know, get the win. And we know that everyone raises the game against FC United. But equally, we've looked at the league table and, you know, Warrington, you know, slipped up last week and, you know, they've played five, on 12 points. We play three, we're on 3 points. We win our two games in hand. All of a sudden, you go to second and you're 3 points behind Warrington. So, you know, tomorrow and Tuesday are massive games for the club. And we won't look at, you know, the game against the Guiseley until after the Lancaster game's concluded. So, you know, for me, my staff, my team, we're targeting 6 points. And, you know, if we can get that, great. If we don't, then we'll reassess. But we want to go into the Guiseley game full of confidence and, you know, we'll be treating every game between now and then with the utmost respect.
And with regards to squad news, just a question on Luke Griffiths. Does the Alfreton match count as a match?
Yeah. Strange one, Ben. You know, I'm really mad. You know, I am mad at the FA. You know, the FA have introduced this rule that if a number of players tested positive for COVID, you can't fulfil the fixture. You know, Luke was ready to play even though he was suspended against Alfreton. And all of a sudden, you know, the game gets pulled because of that. And Luke's suspension game doesn't count. So,
oh, no.
You know, it's a frustration for me. So Luke's going to miss tomorrow. He's going to miss Tuesday. And hopefully we can get him ready for the Guiseley game next Saturday. But, you know, if you look at Luke, he's probably pretty much 4 or 5 weeks out of football since the suspension, which for the record, which never was. You know, I've looked at the footage 5, 6, 7 times. And, you know, he takes the ball. He doesn't raise his studs. And for a poor decision, you know, we lose one of our talismen for a number of weeks. So, you know, it's frustrating, but, you know, we've got to put up with it. That's the FA's decision. But for me, you know, we'll welcome back Luke Griffiths when he comes back in. But we're hoping that the squad in his absence can do what they do. And, you know, we didn't have him against Curzon and I thought the squad were fantastic. So we're hoping to build on the back of that.
Yes, absolutely. And final question, Neil. Message to the home support tomorrow. It'd be good to be playing football again, in my humble opinion. It's been a while.
Oh, is it Scarborough? Is it Scarborough at home? You know, this is the last time, and yes. You know, I can't wait to see the fans tomorrow. And you know, the fans have been brilliant. I've got to say that, like, before the Alfreton game on Tuesday night, you know, the amount of work that goes into the club in terms of, you know, the F&B side, in terms of the media side, in terms of, you know, the ticket sales, etc. Then the game gets pulled at the last minute. You know, the work is astronomical that goes in behind the scenes. And then, you know, for the game not to take place, you kind of, you know, play. People must feel a little bit, you know, demotivated. What I would say is that the amount of work that goes in behind the scenes at FC United is incredible. And I'm just hoping that tomorrow come 3 o'clock, you know, the fans come, you know, they recognise that work and, you know, they get Broadhurst Park bouncing, albeit there'll be 600 people there. But for me, you know, it's a unique atmosphere. It's a special atmosphere and we'll be open to take Stafford to the sword and, you know, with the 12th man, you know, we could do what we do and get 3 points.
Well, hello everybody and welcome back to FC Live, brought to you by constructivecoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army, and you join us here back at Broadhurst Park with some football, everybody.
football is actually happening this afternoon, which is amazing when you think about it. FC United against Stafford Rangers, back in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division. And on my left-hand side, we're joined by Mr. Keg. Hello.
Afternoon.
And on my right-hand side, James Quinn's back, everyone.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me back, Ben.
Keg, the last time we were at football was actually ages ago. Kers and Ashton, the FA Cup. Do you remember that?
Panic stations. 28 minutes to kick off and no way to broadcast. But yeah, it seems like quite a while ago now. I mean, 2 weeks, a COVID postponement, a COVID cancellation, and a stop-start season.
Well, we said it was going to be like this, didn't we? Like it was going to be, you know, there'll be some weeks where we had games. This week, we've got an avalanche of games. We've got this game today against Stafford Rangers. Then we've got Lancaster City here back here on Tuesday night.
Yep.
We've actually got an FA Youth Cup match as well on Thursday here. And then the Geyser game in the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup.
The big
one. So, a lot to juggle, James.
Yeah, indeed. And, the home draws are very handy as well. And FC, I think they'll need to get motoring in the league. Obviously, only played 3 games, 3 points, which is decent, but and games in hand on some of the clubs. But FC be looking for a three-pointer today at home to Stafford.
And here's the thing, isn't it, Keg? I mean, you look at the league form, draws against Scarborough, Nantwich and Hyde, and Hyde had just drew with South Shields in their previous game. I think the league table isn't necessarily telling the truth at the moment about how good FC United have been.
If you look at the last couple of pre-season games as well, we're scoring roughly twice as many as we're conceding, which is good news. And also look at Stafford's form at the moment as well. Played 4, lost 3, drawn 1, scored 1.
But they did beat Hereford on Tuesday in the FA Cup, so they're clearly no mugs.
Another cup team, aren't they? Just like us a bit at the moment. It should be a tight game then.
Neil Reynolds will just want to see FC stamp their authority on this early, get an early goal and just dominate, really. Just get sort of go step up a level from what's been shown this season. It's been good, it's been decent, but FC with a sort of stop-start season, I think ready to start motoring.
And that's going to be the challenge, isn't it? I mean, at the moment, when it comes to stop-start, I think Hyde United are self-isolating now after a COVID test. You mentioned Morpeth. That was the game that was cancelled last
week. Yeah, it was going to go on last Saturday. Yeah.
It's just something that we're going to have to get used to.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like that. We need to get as many rounds of the FA Cup out of the way as we can and at home to get some money in the bank before the next stoppage, really, don't we? The way I'm looking at it, get money in the bank.
James, I was going to say, you know, we're in the midst of the FA Cup now and, you know, we've played 3 league games. I'm going to ask you a controversial question. Does it matter
what?
In the sense that, are we going to get to the end of the season and therefore should we just enjoy each game as it comes and just...
I am.
Yeah, that's the way to be, isn't it?
Something that is... I mean, you mean does it matter either competition?
No, I mean, does it matter really about whether you win, lose or draw? You know, as long as we keep going in the FA Cup, the season just kind of plodding along, just playing matches.
Well, I think
that's what it's about, isn't it? Given, you know, what's going on elsewhere in the
Yeah, I think we can indulge ourselves in that attitude as long as the players aren't, because, you know, they've got to keep it... professional, and I think that the trouble is you don't know how it's going to unfold. Maybe the games will continue, so we might as well play well and keep winning.
It's all about having a good time is what I'm trying to say.
Have a good time, bank as many home games as we can while we can, and we have, haven't we? Well, is it 8 or 9 home games in the last since late August, including a couple of pre-seasons?
I think it was money well spent over the summer on the pitch.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. We've only had a couple of aways and we've only travelled as far as Hyde and Ashton so far, haven't we?
Yeah. Let's give you the team news then. We're 9 minutes to kick off. Full commentary coming your way on FCUM Radio and, of course, streamed across the world on FCUM.TV. Right, James, you've had chats over on the other side of the pitch. You've been networking. What do we know? Michael Donoghue starts, but there was a couple of shakes of the head, wasn't there, in the warm-up there?
Yeah, so we did see a sort of huddle between Neil Reynolds, Olivia Smith, the physio, and Donoghue, and there was some discussion, and then he went back into the tunnel, possibly get some treatment. There's been no announcement, so it may well be that Donoghue does start and then see how he goes, but there obviously was a concern there.
The other thing we have to say is obviously Donoghue, wearing number 4, slotting into midfield. Luke Griffiths, I asked Neil the question last night, that Alfreton game doesn't count. So he's going to miss this game and Lancaster midweek. So Donoghue's going to be vitally important, isn't he? Plugging that midfield with Michael Potts.
Absolutely. And also, it'll be great to see that combination of Griffiths and Donoghue back together again. Their last game that I was able to cover, Scarborough game, they actually intertwined really well and allowed Potts to make forward runs. So that sort of disrupts things. But, I mean, as we've discussed, disruption is going to be the name of the game for football at all levels, really, is that players are suddenly going to have to self-isolate as well as... So it'd be great not to get suspended, I suppose.
Yeah, because he's missed weeks now, hasn't he, or something silly. It's a lot of weeks he's missed where he's not actually played first-team football, Luke Griffiths. Just to say, up front today, Keg, Cockerline starts, Fowler on the bench. What do you make of that? Obviously, there's a... Neil said in his pre-match interview he's going to have to juggle the squad anyway because of the games that are coming up, especially that Lancaster match.
Had a good game at Ashton, and I think that's what's probably given him the start today. Fowler, he's young, he's still learning. I would imagine we will see him at some point today, and I always like to see Charlie Ennis start a game as well. I presume because we've had a 2-week break, that's got rid of a lot of the niggles, because we were carrying quite a lot of niggles and knots, weren't we?
I'd imagine so. When I asked Neil, he had no concerns about the actual fitness of the squad. Just to say, Morgan Penfold on the bench, I thought it worked very, very well at Curzon on the right-hand side.
Yeah, I'd love to see more of that today. And you didn't see the Curzon game, obviously, James, but a pleasure to watch. Big guy, tall. Gives us something. It kind of gives us something we didn't really have before.
It's unusual, isn't it? Because Linney's quite a tall lad as well. So it's two wingers in the Robbie Dale mode, if you will, who were, you know, 6 foot plus, and you know, quite.
But got a lot of good crosses in.
Yeah.
That day, a lot of good crosses in, which is something we were lacking.
It's important that FC have additions to the squad, because of precisely what we're talking about with unpredictability of selection. But I suppose it does emphasise the fact, with when you talk about Griffiths, is the need for discipline, because with so many players potentially missing out with COVID and so on, then it can be it's important that players stay on the field. But as you join us, FC United of Manchester take the field, home side, with Neil Reynolds making his customary little foray towards the SMRE. And FC United's lineup today in goal: Daniel Lavercum, 2 Aaron Morris, 3 Adam Dodd, 4 Michael Donoghue, 5 Chris Doyle, 6 Curtis Jones, 7 Finlay Sinclair Smith, 8 Michael Potts, the skipper, 9 Dan Cockerline, 10 Paul Charlie Ennis, 11 Regan Linnean on the bench for the home side, Morgan Hobson Smith, Michael Fowler, Morgan Penfold, Joe White, who's just joined the club on a dual reg, and Kane Dean making up the substitutes. And for the opposition, in goal, Lewis King, 2 Michael Williams, 3 Kieran Keane, 4 John Welsh, 5 Sam Coulson, 6 Mo Seba, 7 Joe Kenton, 8 Alex Ray Harvey, 9 Jamie Slay, 10 Callum Coyle, 11 Joe Coff, and on the bench, 4 Stafford Rangers, Rhys Jones, Mo Adarabio, Ben Forrest, and Matt Hill. FC United in the customary red shirts, white shorts, black socks for our radio listeners, and Stafford black and white stripes, black shorts with a white trim and red socks. So Mo Seba on the turn, right hand side, Kenton takes it to the byline, low cross in, Mo Seba scores. It was on the right hand side there. And it was Kenton who did well, that got the cross in, and Mo Seba was just more alert than near post. And the FC just not staying with him there. And Seba came in and finished very deftly and into the top left-hand corner there. Lavercum couldn't keep it out. And Stafford Rangers into the lead, 1-0.
25 minutes gone. And you've got to say, allowing Stafford to get that shot in from that narrow angle, not the best defending in the world, maybe. Well, and also, to be fair to Seba, a really, really good shot.
5 red shirts in the box for FC United. Can they respond immediately?
Near and far post covered.
Cross comes in.
Near post.
Morris tries to get... Jones will pursue this. Mo Seba also, but Jones wins it, plays it back to Donoghue. Can he flick a cross in here? And it comes. In goes Doyle! And a great save! And there, good cross in there. Doyle got up well, placed his header, but a good diving stop there from Lewis King. Aaron Morris with the throwback to Sinclair Smith, and Morris just hoofs it centre field. Kenton picks it up. And now it's with Dodd, left-hand side, as Donoghue takes the ball off Kenton. Oh, good work from... really persistent work there from Regan Linney. Now it's Ennis. He's got men in the middle. Tries to get the cross there. And it is handball. It's a penalty.
Well, second handball. Well, third, actually.
Well, Oseba remonstrating.
Strike through him. We've actually got the penalty this time.
You would say that FC United have earned this opportunity because they really have responded strongly to going a goal behind. Persisted, some great work from Regan Linney. He looks very sharp today. So, Charlie Ennis, and as their staff have continued to remonstrate, tend to feel in these situations that the players have made their point. He's not going to change his mind. You wouldn't blame an official for producing a card just to make the point, but Mr. Connors had dealt with it effectively, and now Ennis with a chance to level things up here. Lewis King, the man, has got to try and stop him. So Connor blows his whistle. Here comes Ennis. Oh, and it hits the keeper. He's saved. Hits his foot. Well, he went for the middle there, did Charlie Ennis. Keeper went to his right, left a big trailing leg there, and Stafford Rangers remain a goal up. FC golden opportunity wasted.
Excellent save from King.
Long ball forward, it's intended for Coquelin, finds him. Now it's Ennis. Can Ennis find some quality? Plays it back to Morris. Morris there, a Sinclair Smith. Sinclair Smith, and that slices towards the keeper, and it's come off the head! Coquelin, and it's in!
And it stood as well. I was a little bit worried there for the foul, but it stood. And, well, a very similar angle, really, if you want to recap, James.
Yeah, the ball coming across there quite speculatively, took a deflection, and well, Coquelin gets on underneath it, and well, Lewis King will be disappointed there. He went for that ball, but it came off the head of Coquelin quite innocently, and just bobbled into the goal, really, and FC have equalised, and a nice bit of relief for Charlie Ennis. It's 1-1 now. Regan Linney on the turn, edge of the box, Linney slides it through, Fowler, now Sinclair Smith, it's blocked. Right-hand side, Morris will let this go out for a throw-in.
Ironically, the player you'd really want in this second half is Griffiths, isn't it?
Exactly, but here's Fowler. Back to Potts. Potts, Dodd's available. Dodd, Coquelin. Coquelin holds it up, left-hand side, back to Dodd. Dodd plays it to Potts. Potts about 30 yards out. Potts spreads it out, left-hand side. Regan Linney just outside the box.
Brilliant.
Great run from Dodd. Can he get a cross in? Checks. Plays it back for Linney. Can Linney float something in? Back to Dodd. Dodd now with a cross. Out comes Fowler!
Yes!
It's 2-1, and it's absolutely perfect, and it's totally deserved. The ball was played out to Dodd. Really patient football from left see on the left-hand side. Linney to Dodd, perfectly there, and Fowler in space with a perfect header down to the keeper's left-hand side. No chance for Lewis King this time, and FC United go 2-1 in front. And there it goes, and FC United have hung on here, and a good contest, a story really of a pretty even contest for the first 20 minutes or so, and the visitors took the lead through Mo Saba. FC missed a penalty soon after that, but FC's response was so good to going a goal behind. And equaliser came from Coquelin after a cross sort of spun towards him on the near post. And then in the second half, it was Michael Fowler with a headed goal, which has gave FC the 2-1 lead, which they've hung on to. And that is well, maybe the best performance of the season. Or, well, you saw the Curzon Ashton game, Keg. How would you rate it?
Overall, for a 90, I'd give it to Curzon. Bear in mind, we've had a 6-2 win as well this season, which I didn't see. I would say, over a 90, the first half was frustrating because we looked a bit rusty, as we've said. Second half, having dominated 35 minutes of that half quite comprehensively, should we be more than a goal in front? Maybe, you would think, if you wanted to be greedy, but I'll take our first league win of the season.
Yes, but it really some standout performances, I think. Several of them. Donoghue yet again. Great work from Dodd on the left-hand side. I think Coquelin gets better and better.
Dodd for me, from front to back. He must have put the steps in today if he had his Fitbit on. No, it was an improving performance as the game went on, as you would expect after 2 weeks of inactivity, other than training for the players. And it's a good run into the Lancaster game on Tuesday, and obviously the big cup game next Saturday.
Indeed, as the players greet to the FC fans. And that is, I think, a fully deserved victory for the home side.
Stay with us for the post-match interview and debrief with the manager.
Just to give you the full-time scores from elsewhere, with that result, FC United have moved up to 13th.
Oh, I wanted 11th. Table.
I know, wouldn't it be nice?
11th, didn't we?
13th we'll have to do for today. Warrington Town stayed top. They were 2-1 winners at Radcliffe. Radcliffe did get a goal back in the second half, but Warrington Town getting all the 3 points in that one to stay top of the table. Witton Albion have moved up to second place following a comeback in the second half. They were trailing by 1-0, but now winning 3-1 at full time. Witton Albion now in second in the league table. No game for Buxton this afternoon, but Matlock have moved up to fourth. This game's still taking place, so I don't want to jinx it, but it's South Shields 0, Matlock Town 1.
This season isn't panning out how anyone would have expected it so far, is it?
No.
Not at all.
I mean, you'd think Warrington would be up there.
Yeah.
Whether you thought Witton would be second at this point, I don't know.
And but, Matlock fourth, to be fair.
Matlock fourth, yeah. That game's still going on, though, so don't count your chickens just yet. But South Shields trailing at the moment by 1-0. Basford United have moved into the playoffs at time of recording. They're currently fifth. That's because they beat Bamber Bridge by 2-1. Micklover, sixth. Micklover, 3-0 winners at Ashton United. Not been a good couple of games for Ashton United. It's not been the best of weeks for them. Losing 3-0 at home to Micklover. So Micklover up to sixth. Full time between Scarborough and Nantwich Town. It was 0-0 at half time and it's finished 1-1. That sees Nantwich in seventh position. And they're all the full time scores from this afternoon. Obviously, FC United 2-1 winners there against Stafford. And we go on to that match against Lancaster. Oh, that was the one I missed off. Grantham Town 2, Lancaster City 4. Final results.
We're really looking forward to that game on Tuesday night then.
Well, Lancaster have had a sluggish start, but that's more like it from them. So, yeah, that should be feisty as well. Because, you know, they've got players like Andy Teague there. Right, so 2-1 here, though, James.
Yep. I think Neil Reynolds have a lot to be pleased about, really. And I think that, you know, FC generally managed the game after two. They looked for the third goal, didn't come, but they managed the game. The only slight blemish was Donoghue giving away a necessary free kick right at the death.
Who is the man of the match? You can't give it Donoghue again.
I know, Dodd, I think.
Dodd. I think Dodd we've gone for.
I'd like Coquelin a little mention. I think he's had a very, very, very good game.
We did just mention him, didn't we, in our short list to you?
Yeah,
Coquelin. He's getting better
Dodd,
and better.
Not only Dodd had a great game getting forward, he had a great game at the back, and he covered a lot of the pitch. Mm. By the nature of his job.
Obviously, it was an up-and-down game, to and fro-in that first half. The second half, though, I felt like the last 15 minutes, we just kept them at arm's length and we did a very good job of just killing the game.
I know, but I just don't like us when we do it. Purely because it's
know, but
my
we're,
nerves.
We're good at it.
You might as well. That's when my, that, to put it into context, Ben, that's when my countdown starts.
Oh, no.
And I start getting the nerves, you see. That's when it happens to me.
No, but it was good, I thought. The way we just killed
we
the game.
We controlled the game. Yeah. We controlled the game, yeah. But many, many times we've been doing that and then after a small 10-second lapse in concentration or mistake, they equalise.
Well, I won't ruin the, for rugby league fans, I won't ruin the ending, but I'm not a happy bunny, just to say.
Well, consider that ruined then.
Yeah. Don't bother watching on the iPlayer when you get home, dear listener, there's no point.
Well,
that's another cliffhanger gone.
Yeah. Sorry to spoil it for you, but I feel like I'm doing a public service for people.
Oh, Neil's here. We're joined by Neil. Well, Neil, look, 2 weeks without competitive football, how pleasing was that?
They were brilliant. They were absolutely brilliant. To a man. But I've just gone in the dressing room and I said, you know, sometimes when a game goes a little bit flat at times, if you continue to work hard and to backtrack and get around your teammates, the tempo will come back. Finn Sinclair, Smith and Regan Linney today were absolutely exceptional. And we talk about average distance covered. They probably average about 11 or 12 kilometres, both from 14, 15 kilometres today. I mean, the amount of times that they both popped up in the right back or left back position in the final third, that just it's exceptional. And that's fitness, and that's I'm really pleased about that.
It was a sort of a sluggish start, I suppose, in a sense. You know, that's very sluggish, but it was a bit disconnected. But once FC conceded, the response was phenomenal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, and said at half time, Dan probably plucked a couple of corners out, and then, you know, we're 1-0 down. That's probably all he's had. Second half, he's had nothing to do. You know, we're on top. We get the penalty. You put your house on chance scoring, but he doesn't. You know, it's one of them things. And, you know, we've got to bounce back. But, you know, the movement for the equaliser, Coquelin getting across the front post as he does so well, you know, 1-0. And then you could just smell it around the stadium. And then we just started playing the FC way. And, you know, some of that football in the last stage of the first half and the second half was incredible. A one-touch pass in the rotations. And, you know, really, really pleased when Fowles comes on and gets the winner.
You reverted to a front two, and that seemed to work incredibly well. And is there any temptation to start that way one day?
You know my favourite saying, and you know I won't swear, but the things that people don't see behind the scenes, we knew we signed two forwards, and we need to work hard in training to, you know, how to adapt to 4-4-2. We knew today that will be an opportunity, you know, and the lads have taken to it, and it gives me a second formation. You know, you've got Coquelin, you've got Fowler. For me, they're both as good as each other. You know, some days we'll play one, some days we'll play two, but they showed today for half an hour that they can play as a two, and that's a lot of work and, you know, a lot of tactical work on the training grounds, which come off.
Just to go on from one of the points that James raised there with regards to we started the game looking a bit ring rusty, having not played for a couple of weeks, but we improved as the first half went on. Do you think that teams that deal with a stop-start season, as this is going to be, the better you deal with that, and how you deal with that will dictate who comes out on top?
Yeah, of course it does. You know, it is hard. You know, we've trained really hard for the last 2 weeks, but there's nothing like playing football. And I said to Brian on Thursday night, I said, the lads look like they're ready for a game. And, you know, then all of a sudden you turn up for the game and, you know, we just can't get into our stride. And it's a couple of weeks, but we know, you know, we've got a lot of belief in ourselves, and we talk about, you know, staying positive when things aren't right. And, you know, we probably wasn't right for 10, 15 minutes, but then we got out of the traps, didn't we? And we played really well. For me, it's weird now because, you know, last season, you know, you're playing every week unless there's a torrential downpour, and you're checking every Friday night now, has anyone made the phone call, or Thursday night, Saturday morning, have they made the phone call? And then you get here and the other team are, and you think, brilliant, let's go for it. And, you know, it's weird. You know, the preparation is strange, but, you know, we'll take a win all day long. It's fantastic.
Yeah, we'll take the first league winner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Just another one. On the second half, as Stafford started to get ragged during the second half and it got a bit physical, are you happy with the way we dealt with the physicality that Stafford brought into it? Because I thought we dealt with that really well. We didn't get drawn in too much.
And listen, I know people say Regan Linney's got a bit of a, you know, when people ignited, but he got thrown to the floor by the keeper and then trampled on. I watched it all, you know, and then he got booked, and then Michael Potts got smashed in an awful tackle. Donald's got smashed, and they were throwing it around. And, you know, teams are going to do that to us. You know, we're not the biggest of sides. We're not the experienced of sides. You know, we're a footballing side, and probably, you know, the physicality isn't one of our strengths. But I'm really proud of the lads. You know, they stuck in, they dealt with it. They didn't back chat the referee, which is pleasing for me.
It's how you deal with it and how you react to it, isn't it? And we dealt with it and we didn't react.
At the time, we were on top, weren't they? And the only thing they could do was kind of try and side us down. There was some movement. I think there was a 20-minute spell in the second half that they just couldn't get anywhere near us.
Longer than that, yeah.
Was it longer than that? Yeah. And he was waxing lyricals on the side, and it was one touch, two touches, Finn on the ball, Regan, and it was just patterns of play. It was, you know, it was fantastic. But as a manager, you know, like I said, I'm coming up to my 2-year anniversary, you know, at the club, you know, this month, and there's been a lot of hard work gone in, you know, behind the scenes. A lot of our work goes into training, and kind of what you see is the lads adapting to systems and taking on board instructions and having that, you know, courage to go and play and that braveness to play. And, you know, they're a brilliant group, and today they were, you know, they did it again.
How important is it that Griffiths, such a key player, but how important is it that he wasn't missed today? No disrespect to him at all.
I thought, do you know, for 15 minutes of the game, the first thing, I thought we missed him immensely, because that Diag ball that gets us out of trouble at times, we didn't really get a foothold on the game and we couldn't get Charlie into the game. And I turned to Brian and said, this is probably the game where we're missing Griff a little bit. But then, you know, we adapted and we changed things slightly. And we can't be reliant on one man, you know, we can't be. But he was a massive player for us. He's a huge miss. We're looking forward to getting Lancaster away, out of the way on Tuesday, and he can return to the squad next Saturday. But, you know, players of Luke Griffiths' calibre, you have to miss them. But, you know, credit to Mike Donoghue and Michael Potts, they've stepped in. And, you know, I mean, I talk about Potts, how he is my captain. Donner's, he's just every bit as good, you know, and he's getting better.
And defence, pretty flawless today. You look at Aaron Morris, slightly uncertain start to the season, obviously your centre-backs, and Dodd for us was the man of the match today.
Yeah, Doddy's incredible. You know, some of the things he did in the first half, you can hear the main stand, you know, he's so calm on the ball, he gets out of trouble, he's so quick on the overlap, he puts great balls in. But then the back four, we've got to praise Curtis Jones. You know, he hasn't trained Thursday, he's been really under the weather, he had a test, he come back negative, he did a little fitness test, he felt leggy, but, you know, he played through it. And again, things that people don't see behind the scenes, but you've got to credit that, and I thought him and Doyley were brilliant. And they're forging a good partnership, and, you know, listen, I don't mind telling you, I had a bit of a ding-dong with Aaron Morrison, you know, at half-time, because of the pass that I felt that led to their goal, and the switch was on, really. But, you know, he's responded very well. You know, second half he's come out and was immaculate. And, you know, you do that in the dressing room at times, but, you know, it's only because we care.
Given licence to push well forward as well, Morris, today.
Yeah, we do. We let our fullbacks go. I mean, people say, kind of, I'm the type of manager, you score two, we'll score three. You know, but I like my fullbacks going. They're my wide men. You know, I see 7 and 11 is like coming in off the flanks and playing closer to the 9 or the 10. But when you've got lads like Morris and Dodd in the fullback areas who are fit, who work on the fitness and have got good quality, you know, you've always got an outlet there. So that's how we play. People try and cotton onto it, but it is hard to play against when we get into our rhythm.
Finally, two games ahead. So Lancaster, 4-2 winners today. They're finding their way. Interesting challenge Tuesday night?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you remember last season's game, don't you? You know, here, you know, we're 2-0 up, we're brilliant, and the last 10 minutes we go kamikaze, and then boom, we go and win it in the last minute, and we're all in the main stand and in the SMRE. It was incredible. And, you know, we always look forward to Lancaster. You know, I've got a lot of friends there, and see, it's a bit of a local derby. You know, they're going to be a good side. Mark Fell's got a good team there. They've got a good win today. Not an easy place to go. But, you know, we've got to play everybody. You know, I think South Shields might have slipped up again today. You know, they were getting beat 1-0, and you just never know. You know, I still say that people can beat everyone in this league. You know, it's just who adapts to the conditions, who adapts, you know, to the formations, and, you know, which players turn up. But for me, you know, it's another home game. We're unbeaten. You know, I'm taking Alfreton as a win, so we're still unbeaten. That's another one.
Well, it's certainly not a defeat.
It's not a defeat. And listen, you know, people have, if you would have said to me, you know, we're going to get into the middle of October unbeaten in the league and we're still in the FA Cup, it's incredible. And yeah, I've got to touch upon that. We're 90 minutes away from the first round proper, and we'll keep our feet on the floor, but there's a real buzz in that dressing room. You know, they can create something special, and I'm forever showing them the pictures down the tunnel, and they're desperate to get themselves on there, and I'm sure that if they keep doing what they're doing, then they won't be far away.
And Geisley having a good season.
Yeah, Chaddy's gone to watch him today. You know, Chaddy's gone, so we'll get a video and report on him, and we'll, like I said, we'll take care of Lancaster first. Hopefully we don't get beaten, we can go into the weekend still unbeaten and on good form. We love it under lights at Broadhurst Park, so, you know, we can't wait for Tuesday. And, you know, some tired bodies in there today, but you've seen me, I've rested a few, and there'll be more changes on Tuesday. I think there might be two or three changes Tuesday, but just keep everyone fresh. But as a manager, it's great when you can pull off Linney and Sinclair Smith and put on Penfold and Omston Smith. You know, we've got a good squad.
Omston Smith, it was good, wasn't he? Yeah,
very good.
Really, really
very good.
He went straight into it.
Yeah. Very good. You know, so you look around now on the bench, and I think we've got options now, and it's, you know, you don't fear a little bit, because we're still short without Luke in the centre midfield, and Donna's passed the fitness test for the game. So, but listen, we'll keep working. We've got a relatively small squad. We're not looking to bring in anybody. We're happy with what we've got.
So, well, and of course South Shields, don't want to get too ahead, but South Shields are looming in the distance, 10 days.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I went to watch them last week play Bamber Bridge, so, you know, we've got a full debrief on them. But it's not easy. You know, there's a lot of expectation on them to go and win the league. And I was talking, and, you know, pressure gets to you at times. And, you know, we play pressure-free. You know, our fans are great, and they let us play pressure-free, and they get behind the lads, and when they see good football, and, you know, and they've been treated some really good football. But that's credit to the boys in there.
Well, congratulations to you and to the team, Neil, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Brilliant. Thanks guys. Very much,
Neil.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate. Thanks.
Right, so just a couple of parish notices. Big good luck to the women's team tomorrow. They're away at Norton and Stockton Ancients, our old friends, in the Women's FA Cup. So big good luck to them. We'll be back for men's team action on Tuesday, FC United against Lancaster City.
Yeah, it'll be Josh and Howard for that one. Not Josh Howard, obviously, just Josh and Howard.
So that's coming up on Tuesday from 7:30 on FCM TV and radio. We've got the FA Youth Cup as well. The FA Youth Cup, Liverland here on Thursday night. Join us from 7:30 on FC Radio. And then Guiseley in the FA Cup, the Senior FA Cup, on Saturday. Join us from 2:30 on radio and 2:45 on TV. Good. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Thank you, Keg. Thank you, Aidan. And we'll see you all very soon.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. Next up for the Reds in the league will be Tuesday's home game with Lancaster City. There are significant changes to matchday arrangements this season due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. So for further information ahead of this game, please visit www.fc-utd.co.uk. And if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll have full commentary on Tuesday evening right here on FC Radio. Tune in from 7:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. A big thank you to everyone involved in FC Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.